Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Probably can quote them. If not, I just want them to be a reminder to us tonight of what we've already read and what we already know. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For those of you that have any of these electronic devices like computers, iPads, and all these, there's just a myriad of different types of devices that people use these days. A lot of times, they are password protected. And you have to know the password. There's just a lot of things in life now that require a password, it seems like, almost to the point that I cannot keep up with them all. And I told someone this the other day. I said, I have such time remembering passwords. And they said, you know, there's an app for that on your phone. I said, there is? Yeah, you can download an app now, and at that app, you can insert all of your passwords that you need. Now, it's getting confusing, isn't it? When you have to have a device to get into a device to figure out how to use a device, things are getting complicated in this world. But the password, if you know the password, then you're able to get in, and there's like a world of opportunity. There's a world of things that open up to you that otherwise would not be accessible to you. You have to have a password. And I think a lot of Christians who have served the Lord, or they've become Christians, they have believed upon the Lord as their Savior. They've got really saved, but they wonder, why is it that things that my spiritual, you look at other Christians and see, it just seems like they have so much power with God and so much wisdom and insight, and God uses them to such a great degree. And you wonder, Lord, why is it that that one or those have that ability and that success? And but there is a password. There is a key to this ability to be greatly used of the Lord. And the password is surrender. That's the word. Surrender. I remember whenever I made a decision as a young person, I had gotten saved. I was saved for a few years as a teenage boy. But when things were really, I was being confronted with big decisions about my life and my future, I remember the biggest issue was surrender. I had to lay everything down. All of my plans, all of my interests, all of my ambitions. And I had to set all of that aside and surrender to what I knew in my heart that God was saying. I think they said that Sister Martin, and I know I'm not quoting this right, but one of Sister Martin's quotes or sayings was something like this, that the most difficult commitments will always result in the greatest fruit. The most challenging and difficult decisions that you make will result in the greatest fruit in your life. And I think it's so true that a lot of times Christian people, they just get to that place. They get saved and they're enjoying knowing the Lord and learning about the things of the Lord. But they haven't ever really come to that place that they have made Jesus the Lord of their life. They haven't really fully surrendered completely to the Lord. And so the password to spiritual growth, spiritual fruitfulness, to moving forward in the knowledge of the Lord, all those things that you have seen maybe in other people's lives and you've just admired them and thought, oh, I just would love to be able to have what they have in their walk with the Lord. And you can. And we all can. If we're willing to use the password of surrender. And if you'll enter it in, then there's a whole world that will open to you if you'll be willing to say yes to the Lord no matter what He is calling you to do. Amen. You can enter into some wonderful, wonderful things. I agree with that statement that Sister Martin made. I've even witnessed it over the years in my some of those difficult decisions that the Lord later on blessed and honored those challenging and sometimes sacrificial decisions with blessing and with fruitfulness. You just can't outdo your in your commitment to God. You can't outgive God. You can't commit too much to God. He is wanting you to surrender yourself completely to Him. And that's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is all about. That's really the message in these two verses that are really, like I said, probably the most well-known of verses. And it talks about presenting your body a living sacrifice. You see, the person that would bring a sacrifice, they would bring that, and the requirement of the law of God, the requirement of the word of God under the Levitical requirement was that they bring the lamb, and they had to bring the lamb and give it all to be sacrificed. It had to be given all. Not only was it given in its entirety, which is what God wants you and I to do, not hold back areas of our life that we're not willing to commit to the Lord. He wants you to surrender to Him wholeheartedly, 100%, everything that you have, your time, your talent, your money, your family, your gifts, everything that God has given to you, He is requiring that you give it all to Him. We often, we kind of designate certain areas of our life. This is my spiritual side. This is my religious side. I'll give this all to the Lord. And you feel like you've done pretty well because you read the Bible pretty often. You go to church and you have your little spiritual exercises that you're involved in. But He wants it all. He wants you completely and entirely. All of your life. Everything about your life has to be committed to the Lord and surrendered to the Lord. That was the requirement in the offering of sacrifices in the old, under the Old Testament economy. They had to bring it all. The offerer had to release all of his claim or right to it. It was given to be sacrificed. It was given to temple worship. It was given, and all of it. When you read about the parts of the sacrifice and how it was to be used and who could partake in it, and that all of it and even the smallest parts of it, if it was not, it was never returned back to the original owner, it would have to be even burnt up or consumed. But before, none of it was ever to be given back to them to say, this is yours to do with what you want. Now, it was a sacrifice. The giver, the offerer, released all of his right to it, all of his claim to it. It had to be offered completely to God without reserve. Everything. It's the password to joy. It's the password to spiritual victory in your life. It's the way that you can enter in to the wonderful blessings that God has for you. And if you're withholding, you know, holding back on God, certain areas of your life, you've given to Him plenty, and you even compare yourself to other people and say, well, compared to them, I'm doing so much more than they are. But other people are not your standard of judgment. The standard is, are you doing what God has asked you to do, and what He wants is all of you? Amen. 100%. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's the owner. Glorify God in your body, in your spirit, both flesh and spirit. Everything that you have to offer should be committed to the Lord. You're to live your life. You're no longer your own. You were bought with a price. You belong to the Lord. Remember the young man, the rich young ruler is what we call him. That term is never actually ever, he's never, in one, you know, it's in the gospel accounts. But as far as all of them saying rich young ruler, they don't. But in the combination, in all of these gospel accounts, it refers to him as being a ruler. It refers to him as being a young man. And it refers to him as being wealthy. And so they've combined it all. And we call him the rich young ruler. This young man came to the Lord. And good master. Now, it's obvious that he knew that there was something lacking in his life. Or he would have never approached the Lord like he did. He knew something was lacking. But he came to him inquiring. What do I do? What can I do that I may have eternal life? What area? What is it? He said, I've kept the law, all of the commandments in every detail. This is a young man that no doubt was a highly moral person. He was good in a lot of ways. He had a lot of wonderful qualities about him. And just think about the potential of this man. He's young. And he's approached the Lord. The Lord didn't approach him. He comes to the Lord asking him about spiritual things. And I think of him, this is a young man with a lot of potential. But there was just this one area of his life. He had great possessions. He had a lot of the things of this world. Notice what it says in Matthew 19. The young man said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He knew there was something lacking. He was holding back in reserve. And really what he was saying was, I wonder if I'm going to be able to get by and keep a good hold on all of my possessions. Because that's what really owned his life. That's what really owned his heart. And Jesus, who is omnipotent, who knows all about you and about me, and he knows everything about our lives, even to the secret, hidden areas of our life. He knew that this young man was good, he was moral, he had wonderful qualities about him, and tremendous potential as a young man. But here he is, and this one thing is holding him back. And I think that it's true in the lives of some Christians. They just go so far with the Lord, but they're not willing to just lay it all down on the altar. Give it all to the Lord. Surrender completely your life, your future, your everything, all that you own, your possessions, your family, everything that you give it all to the Lord. He wants your life. He wants your life. Amen. But not only that, those sacrifices that were offered, the text here, it says that you're to present your body a living sacrifice. He wants your life. He wants your life. That's the most treasured possession that you have. The fact that you have strength and you have life and that you can use your time and your talent and your abilities that he's given to you for the glory of God. He wants your life 100%. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants a holy sacrifice. This sacrifice is to be purged and unclean. You know, they would, before the sacrifices could be brought, offered on the altar, they would hold them for 14 days. You can read about this in Leviticus. But they were set apart, kept in keeping, like a stable or something, for 14 days. Before that they would be offered for sacrifice. Why would they do that? Well, apparently that the owner would go and look at his flock and he would pick the one that appeared to be the most perfect, pure. It was the best that he had. That's what was required. It was to be unblemished. It was to be the best that he had. He would bring it and offer it at the temple, but then they would set it apart for 14 days because in those 14 days, it was scrutinized and it was watched and to make sure there was no disease or anything about that animal. It was watched and scrutinized to make sure it was a pure animal that could be offered as a sacrifice. God wants us to be a living sacrifice and a holy sacrifice that can come under the scrutinizing eyes of the Savior and of the Word of God, that we have been sanctified by the work of the Spirit and by the Word of God. Amen. There are things in our life that are not obvious, but God, by His Spirit, by His Word, and by the Holy Spirit, He reveals. The Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to pierce asunder, even soul and spirit. It goes beyond what is obviously seen and is able to deal with the hidden areas of our life and purge those things out, cleanse those things out. The sacrifice is to be living, it's to be holy, it's to be acceptable to God. God is the judge. He wants your life to be presented to Him. And it needs to be pleasing to the Lord. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's why he does it. He wants to please the Lord. That's most important. Amen. A sacrifice, alive, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service, which is really talking about your willingness is to do what you do as worship to God. Amen. Now we do worship the Lord when we sing. We do worship the Lord when we're in the house of the Lord. And then when we walk out the door, we're still worshiping God. With our life, with our words, with our testimony, with everything that we do, we are to be a living sacrifice everywhere that we go. It's your reasonable service. The word service is really there. It's talking about sacrifice, or rather about worship. It's just reasonable that you would worship the Lord with your life and everything about your life. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be shaped by the thinking and the ways of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. How is your mind renewed? Oh, through the Word of God. By the Word of God and by the working of the Spirit of God in your life. The Word of God is so powerful, and we limit our blessing and growth because we don't make the Word of God available to us. I drove over to East Kentucky they have this Project Preach thing going on this week. I drove over there Monday evening and then they had four preachers Tuesday morning, starting off with going all the way back. You all remember Brother Messer, Dallas Messer, that was here. He started it off with the whole topic is all on Jesus Christ. His topic was the preexistence of Christ. I know that you said that sounds like woo doctrine, deep doctrine, and it was. But I'm telling you what, it was just. I sat there for 4 hours and walked away from hearing those four different preachers dealing with the deity of Christ, dealing with the virgin birth of Christ, and these various doctrinal issues that I've known about for a long, long time. But the Word of God is so powerful. It has such an impact upon your life and upon your mind. It can change you. It transforms. It renews your mind. Your thinking is renewed by the Word of God. Amen. Instead, we fill up our minds with so many things that are of this world, and it causes us to be conformed to the world. But instead, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'll stop right there. But I just want to encourage you tonight to see that there's a lot more. And many of you are like me. You've known the Lord and served the Lord for a long, long time. But we need to be reminded that there's so much more for us. There's so much more that we can enter into. And the password is surrender. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll lay that down. I'll sacrifice that. Whatever you ask me to do, whatever area of my life you put your finger on, Lord, I'm willing. because I know that if I walk this pathway of surrender, wonderful things can take place. Jesus lived that life. He surrendered to the will of the Father. And today we have the wonderful blessing of salvation because Jesus surrendered to come into this world and to veil himself in flesh and to live like he did in a quiet little village of Bethlehem and live in Nazareth and just really be a nobody and surrender himself to that life and then later to the death of the cross. He did all of that. And now the glorious plan of salvation that brings hope to all the world. They estimate that there's 1.5 billion Christians on this planet right now. I don't know if that's true or not. But out of the almost 7 billion people, there are a 1.5 billion who claim that Jesus Christ is their Savior. And that's only possible because Jesus surrendered. He surrendered. And if you're willing to surrender, if you're willing to walk that pathway, then God can open up for you wonderful, wonderful, and amazing things that you can't even imagine by His Word and by His Holy Spirit, His working in your life. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for the truth of your Word. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us, Lord, to a life of surrender, to do your will. Whatever that might be, whatever that the pathway may lead us, no matter what we experience, no matter what we face, Lord, help us, Lord, to be willing to surrender to that calling and that purpose. In Jesus' name.